Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading for the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you can turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they harbor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You would afflict the righteous. You take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 90. We will read the psalm in unison. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long will you tarry? Be gracious to your servants. Satisfy us by your loving kindness in the morning. So shall we rejoice and be glad all the days of our life. Make us glad by the measure of the days that you afflicted us, and the years in which we suffered adversity. Show your servants your works and your splendor to their children. May the graciousness of the Lord our God be upon us. Prosper the work of our hands. prosper our handiwork.
Thank you.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So this week on Thursday night, I got to go to a book signing at the Jacksonville Historical Society. And the title of the book is The Mad Atlas of Virginia King. The Mad Atlas of Virginia King. Virginia King died just a few years ago. She was a little woman, very short, who spent all of her adult life living in various residences in Riverside. Virginia was, how do I say it, a little bit different up here. For one thing, wherever she lived, she would always put newspaper down on the floor of her kitchen because she wanted to keep her kitchen clean. And then once a week, she would pull up the newspaper, mop the floor, and then put new newspaper down. Obsessive compulsive, right? Virginia had very little resources. She sold magazines occasionally, and she spent most of her money buying film. She had a little brownie camera. Do you remember those brownie cameras? Virginia had a sole purpose in her life. She loved old homes and buildings. And she would comb through the newspapers to see if a house was going to be demolished. And if it was, she would take a bus or walk as far as she could to get there, and she would take pictures. And she would write all about every piece of history of that house that she could lay her hands on. Pages and pages of her handwritten scrawl. She was difficult to get along with and didn't like to be hugged and was known by everyone in the neighborhood. When she died, thousands and thousands of pieces of paper with her handwriting and pictures of old homes and buildings were put on a shelf at the Jacksonville Historical Society, where they just sat there forgotten until a professor happened to come upon them and begin reading them and became fascinated by her work. In none of it does she ever mention herself or her family. It's all about these beautiful old homes that she just couldn't let go of. And so this professor took the time to write the Mad Atlas of Virginia King, because many of her maps were in fact a little confused. But it was a woman who loved greatly and wasn't able to let go. When I read this gospel on Sundays in church, year after year, I look out at the congregation and I can sort of see this, oh no, uh-oh, it's that one again. I could call it the guilt gospel. Jesus tells the rich man to give away everything he has, and every one of us that hasn't given away everything we have feels inadequate. But that's not really what it's about. This is a gospel about a man who didn't know how to let go. You see, Jesus doesn't ask everybody to give up everything. He tells different people different things. Zacchaeus, he says, give away half your stuff. I don't know what he would say to you. That's between you and God. What I do know is that this man was a go-getter. This man knew how to do things right. He was very impressive. Not only did he have a lot of money and a lot of possessions, but he also knew how to behave. I bet he got straight A's in school. And he knew how to flatter to get what he wanted, too. If you read the gospel carefully, this man runs up to Jesus and falls down on his knees. And then he says, "Good teacher." Jesus is so smart, he gets it right away. "Why are you calling me good? What do you want? What's with the flattery? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" the man asks. And this verb "inherit" is only one that he uses. You see, this man thinks that he can get a ticket to heaven, that he can get a guarantee of a green light. He wants to check it off his list. "I paid off my mortgage, check. I got a lot in the bank, check. I got a ticket to heaven, check. I'm all set with that." But the only problem is, you can't get a ticket to heaven. Because heaven is about relationship. Relationship with God. Well, those of you who are married, you know, you can't just say, "Is my spouse love me? Okay, check. Now I'll just forget about them." It's not done. It's a relationship. You have to keep on working at it, right? And you have to go deeper and deeper in order to keep it true and honest. Your love has to grow and change. There is no such thing as a ticket to heaven. But you can just see the look on this man's face, because Jesus at first just says, "Oh, you want to get into heaven? Okay, well, you've read the Torah, you know the commandments." And I could just picture the man. He goes, "Yeah, I've been doing that since I was a kid. Give it to me. Tell me I'm in. I'm in." And then there's this really important line. You see, Mark, if you know about the Gospels, Mark is the shortest Gospel. Mark is very much to the point. He is not sentimental at all. Jesus goes immediately here and immediately there, and he does this and that. Mark hardly ever mentions feelings at all. But Mark takes the time to say something really important. Jesus looks at the man and he loves him. And he loves him. And when God loves you, God challenges you. I'm not talking about inflicting pain. I'm not talking about punishment. God doesn't punish. That's the result of our fallen world. But God does challenge. And the more you love God, the more God will challenge you. Jesus loved this man. Jesus thought the world of this man. Yes, he tells him to give up all of his stuff and give it to the poor. But you know what he says in the second part? He says, "Come and be with me. Follow me. Be a disciple." He wants this man to be a disciple. Now, Jesus doesn't ask everybody to follow him. Most of the people, he tells him to go back and don't tell anybody about the miracles he's done or whatever. Jesus loved this man, and he thought a lot of this man. But he knew that the one thing this man could not do was let go. So that's how he challenges him. Give it away. Give it all away. Let go of it. You can't take it with you anyway. Come with me. Follow me. Your stuff is not going to make you courageous. It's not going to make you feel loved. It's me. It's me that you need. You see, this man, he thought that his stuff would make him not be afraid that if he had enough around him, he would be loved and secure and comfortable. But does your money make you feel courageous or secure or comfortable? If money made us comfortable and power made us comfortable, well, what about Joseph Stalin? He was the ruler of all Russia, right, during the time of the Second World War. That man had more power and more money than almost anybody in the world. And did you know that he had 7 bedrooms? And he kept them all locked, by the way, at night, so that no one knew in which bedroom he was sleeping. And he had 5 limousines, and every time he went anywhere, he would go out in one of the 5 limousines, and he'd have the curtains drawn on all the windows so you couldn't tell which limousine he was in, because the man was so scared that somebody was going to take away his stuff. So getting more money and more power doesn't make you less fearful. In fact, the more God loves you, the more God challenges you, and the more God challenges you often to let go. My son Max showed me a movie 2 nights ago. It came out a few years ago, but I had never seen it. It's a cartoon, and it's called Up. Have any of you seen that movie? Up is the story of an elderly man who married a woman back when they were kids, and they fell in love, and they wanted to go on to a place called Paradise Falls together. They got married, and they had a great life, but they never quite got to Paradise Falls. And so after her death, this man, in his house that they built together with all of the things that they collected, all he wants is to hold on to his wife and the memory of her and his house. And it turns out that his house is going to be demolished. Now, I love cartoons because in cartoons, people can do things that they can't do in real life. And in the cartoon, this man, in order to save his house, he attaches 1,000,000 balloons to it and it floats up into the sky. Isn't that cool? Wish I could do that. I bet Virginia King wished she could do that too. So his house is floating up and he thinks, oh, I've saved everything. I've got it all. I'm holding on to it. And then there's this knock at the door. Turns out a Boy Scout was on his porch. By the way, the Boy Scouts are doing coffee hour today, so it must be God that has me preaching about a Boy Scout. So you better eat your cookies. So the movie is about the journey of this man and this boy. And what eventually happens is that the man, as God would probably intend, has to decide between holding on to his house or going after the boy. And he lets go of the house and he watches his house sail away into the clouds so that he can be there for this little boy whose father has abandoned him. He has to let go in order to love more deeply. So when God loves you, God challenges you. And if you're being challenged, know that God loves you. And know that salvation is a journey. And the deeper you go with God, the more you will be asked. But it is a joyful one. The more you will be asked to let go. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we live in a frightening world. You promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Hear us now as we pray to you for the peace of the whole world, that nations and peoples may come to understand and respect one another. We pray especially for an end to the violence in the Middle East and on the streets of our own cities. Lord, in your mercy, for the poor, the sick, the lonely, and those who are grieving, that they may find comfort and solace in your presence, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Lord, in your mercy, for this community, that we may boldly serve you without fear. Lord, in your mercy, for the city of Jacksonville, that your Holy Spirit may inspire us to revitalize the urban core. Lord, in your mercy, for the earth, that we may use its fruits to your glory and for the good of all creation. Lord, in your mercy, for all who have died, that they may see you face to face, we remember especially the crew of the El Faro and for Henry Varnell. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy, for the courage to face our own limitations, faults, and failings, and for the gift of your grace. Lord, in your mercy.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the cathedral.
So glad you're here today. It's so good to see you. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. We promise we won't make you talk or anything, but hold your hands up and we'll bring you a present. We're so glad you're here. You got to keep it way up so that they can find you, and you don't put your hand down until they come, okay? Because they have to find you in this big place. We're so glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. There's also a little form in your pew for newcomers if you'd like to receive our e-newsletter. Sign up and just put that in the plate as it comes by. David is away on a conference that I have sent him to. He's learning many things, doing very well. I want to thank Ken Myers, who helped me teach this morning and did a beautiful job in our Acts class. Speaking of Tolliver Hall, where we held the class, there is a new art exhibit in Tolliver Hall. It is from One Jacks, and it is pictures, photographs, beautiful photographs, of houses of worship all over Jacksonville. Wonderful way to meditate and pray, to look at them. So please take time to see the new exhibit in Tolliver Hall. Next Sunday, the First Coast Wind Symphony will have their fall concert here at the cathedral. This is a beautiful, beautiful group of wind instruments. I've heard them before, and they take your breath away. So if you have time to experience some beauty, it's free. It's 5 o'clock next Sunday, and there'll be a reception following in Tolliver Hall. We have some great new classes. The Holy Spirit's moving around here, and more people are teaching on Wednesday nights, even since September. So check your bulletin and see what's being offered, and if you're interested in coming. Again, an updated schedule of Wednesday classes is in your bulletin. We're taking down a wall of fear as we receive people making financial pledges to the church, and I'm so grateful for any amount you can pledge. Remember, it's a promise. We're not going to come after you like a IRS or something if you can't fill it. But it helps us write a budget, so we're so grateful for any amount you can give to us. Let's pull it forward. Thanks, Kirk. By the way, our new Boy Scout troop has how many members in it? 14 Boy Scouts. Okay, can I have some help? We can tear down. We got 24 pledges in this week, pretty good. So we can tear down 12 bricks. Come on, guys, somebody can come help me tear them down. Come on, front rows. Tear down a brick or two, and we got to put them on the altar. We just have to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thanks, Max. 6. Do we have 6? How many do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, we can get 2 more. Kirk's got 2. 11, 12. Good job. Okay, bring them on up and let's put our fear on the altar of God. As you can see, a beautiful collage is being unveiled here. And who do we see under the wall of fear? You. Thanks, Kirk. Walk in love as Christ loved us and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you alone are good, O God, and by the goodness of your grace, you made possible our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.